Hey, continuing the sugya of Tfilas Kelim, so the first week we spoke a little bit about what the source of Tfilas Kelim is, the Raisa of the Rabbanim, so the Nefkarinas, and the next week we spoke about precisely which kinds of Kelim require Tfilas in terms of material, in terms of place Uda. Now we'll move on to the next part of Tfilas Kelim in terms of what the time frame for Tfilas Kelim is when is one supposed to do Tfilas Kelim, what has to pass it to see Tfilas Kelim, when is Tfilas Kelim perhaps not appropriate. So the sugya begins in the first of the Ma'amakamot. And about the Zohar, that's in Hamad Beis, Mark what's the price, and it spells out all the different stages that are supposed to take place before one can use a kli if kli was purchased from a non-Jew. So, Tanur Rabbanan, Pakech Leitashvich and Ovi Kichovim, if a person buys a utensil from a Goy, Zvam Shlom Ishtamish Behem, if they weren't used at all, brand new, like people they told them, you just have to tell them when finished. Zvam Shlom Ishtamish Behem, they told them, what if it's something that was used by a non-Jew, but it was used for cold? So in Kostos, Tonios, and Tlochios, that we have in the cups or pitchers, Madichon and Matpil Vein Tahorim, and there's no need to literally cash them, you have to wash them out. Madichon, you have to wash them out to make sure there's no bad, to make sure there's nothing, no actual physical residue of the tray for food, but since it's used for cold, and then there's no bleas, nothing got absorbed in, and once you wash it off, then you could type it. Zvarim Shem Mishtavish Benay Dechamin, however, one of the something that was, used for hab, things that were used for hot, but not necessarily on the flame. That's the next part of the Gemara we're going to talk about. The things that require hagola, magilah, and madilah, vein torin. The advice includes that one has to first do hagola on them. It's just to roll the pot and fill it with boiling water, let the boiling water overflow the pot. It's the silverware, they put the silverware into the boiling water in the pot. But first you do hagola, and then you do tefillah, and then and only then are the kelim permissible to be used. So the way the Braita describes the two processes that are necessary to enable you to use the kelim, one is the process that we call the Hashem Kelim Hagolah, and the other is Tfilas Kelim. So the Yeshiva have a question whether this order is Dafka, the Chazal literally meant it in this order, or the other is Rav Dafka. If the person wanted to switch around the order, first the Tovah, then Kasha, that's also okay. So the second time we come with the Rosh, and the Vedizar, the Parakeh, and the Lamazov, close from the Rashbam, Pirish Rashbam, Dafka Magilon Amalav Matchila. So the Rashbam says that one is required to first kasher the kli. Those kelim that require hagola, those kelim that require livun, first you kasher it, and then only then are you permitted to toivel. So he'll still tchila, but if you toivel the kli first, habi ki toivel v'sharet v'yadoi. So that tchila would not be acceptable. That sounds like a problem of toivel v'sharet v'yadoi. Now toivel v'sharet v'yadoi literally means the person is going to the mikvah, as he's in the mikvah, he's holding on to the dead mouse, he's holding on to the dead lizard. He's holding on to the item that's going to be remitamed to him. So the word says, Tov Asher's Viyadok is not acceptable. The Rashbam said that if you're going to toivel the kli with treifas chazer inside the walls of the kli, that's like you're still holding on to the treifas. You're holding on to the treifas and you're trying to kasher it. The whole tefillah is not effective. And that would be disqualified because of Tov Asher's Viyadok. Therefore, according to the Rashbam, the order of the braita is precise. At first you have to kasher the kli, and then and only then can you toivel the kli. Lady here. So the Rosh says he doesn't think that the comparison to Tov Asher's Viyadoi is correct. The Hach Tvila Lo Mishum Tuma. Because the purpose of this Tvila is going to do with Tuma. When you're dealing with this Tvila for Tuma, for impurity purposes, then I understand. I'm trying to make the Kli Tahar, and at the same time I'm making a Torah. So obviously they're holding on to the Shem is going to be the impediment for the Tvila to be Chal. But over here, you have Tvila Chadoshim Tvichim Tvila. Here you have Tvila. Even if the kelim are brand new, not because they're plumbing, not even because they're trace. There's no trace of issue. But a gzeres hakosav, it's a special part of gzeres hakosav. In yirti yatpilena, yishtamish batzaynei, yichshir tishamish bacham yagilena. It's a gzeres hakosav that you have to tevel kelim. So lo yitzui, if you would want to only use the kli for a cold, there would be no blia, then technically speaking, you wouldn't have to actually kasher it. But it's a good idea, a bad idea, it's a different story. But technically, if you have a kli, although it has traces inside it, I'm only using it for cold, so the traitor isn't going to come out, so I can just type it and use it. And if and when I want to use it for hot, then I'll kasher it afterwards. But the Rosh says there really is no reason to insist on the precise order. You can flip around. If you want to type it first and kasher it afterwards, that's okay. So here we have a major machlokes in the Rashbam and the Rosh, Halalim Shah and the Braisa. And not just Halalim Shah and the Braisa, but conceptually, what are you really trying to accomplish with these two processes? So on the one hand, you're kashering the kli, and the other hand, you're typing the kli. So it sounds like, according to the Rashbam, that one process is really building on the other. It's first you're getting rid of the tumah, and then you're being machzor, so to speak, at the kedusha, the surah, the rabba seto. You have to first get rid of the tumah, And then he can begin to be mitare. If he can try to be mitare when you're holding on to the tumah, that's going to smack of type of a share to the other. But according to the Rosh, they're not doing anything. One is a halacha of kasher, one is a halacha of tefillah kelim. As we said already last week, tefillah kelim really has not all that much to do with kasher. So I can first do the mitzvah tefillah kelim, and then when I want to kasher the kli, I can kasher the kli. The Rambam writes in Uchas Tshuva another example of a talk shas yadav, the more spiritual way. The Rambam writes that if a person tries to do tshuva, but they don't quite stop doing the chet, the person is clapping a chet, as he's clapping a chet, he's still doing the chet, but the Rambam writes that's not going to be an effective tshuva. The Rambam gives a marshal, that's like a talk shas yadav. That's a Musa type of talk shas yadav. He was talking about a halachic talk shas yadav. So the Rashbam says that Tov Hashas Yadav carries over even to us Kalim, and the Rosh says he never heard of such a thing. So one time I had a shayla from somebody about Tov Hashas Yadav. I don't think they didn't really mean to formulate it this way, but they called me frantic from the mikvah. Not a mikvah here, it was a little bit of a warmer climate. Cool from the mikvah, but there was a frog in the mikvah. And they wanted to know whether the frog inside the mikvah, whether that affected the status of the mikvah. So I explained to them that there are a few reasons why that's irrelevant. I said, first of all, even if it would be a sheret, mamish a sheret, so it wouldn't be a problem because the pasuk says that if you have a body of water and a sheret falls in, the sheret can never be matami. The main mikvah is the only thing, the only kind of collection of water that can never become tummy. If I have a cup of water and never tummy touches it, it becomes tummy. If I have a food and never tummy touches it, it becomes tummy. But a body of mikvah water is achmayanam umayim mikvah, umayim yatohar. Even if the sheret falls in, it cannot disqualify the water itself. That's the first reason. The second reason why it wasn't a problem is that the frog isn't the sheret. The frog is not really tummy. It's not for the eight shvat mamur in the Torah. The third reason was that the frog was alive, and things are only tummy when it becomes dead. So I thought the three good reasons, the mikvah said, okay, I didn't want to share the nitzis shot of the words of Padeya, the nitzis in fashion, the Eira writes that he thinks that Makas Padeya was crocodiles, right? Kuf Reish Aleph, Kuf Aleph Aleph, you love it? Crocodiles, a lot of crocodiles in the Nile. Because that was the Makas Padeya. All the crocodiles in the Nile came out at the same time. So, it was in that part of the country where it wouldn't be so crazy to see crocodiles and alligators, but Baruch Hashem was only a frog. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the Rashbam says that Tov Hashas Yadav was a concern, like the Caleb and the Rosh Hashanah. So how do we pass in the Malacha? So Shulchan Aruch, and the third of the Mamakamas, the both opinions are quoted. In Sibukuf Chafalas today, luckily on Caleb Shemashan Shemachamin, the person buys Caleb from a non-Jew that we used for Hak, Bain Shem Shematefes, Shem 8, Shem 11, whatever material they're made of, Magila and the Chach Magila. The first you have to do Agala, and then you have to do Tfila. You only have to do Tfila in Mim Shematefes. There's no mitzvah Tfila Caleb on wood or stone. The Imid Bila and the Chach Magila, love the person flips the order, Mutarim. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the first opinion of the Rosh that it would be okay. The Yeshayimim, and those who say, namely the Rashbam, Shetuch Lachdu Ladilam. You would have to tefillah them again because the first tefillah is not acceptable for the Tov Hashas the other. But Shulchan Aruch, it's left hanging with two opinions. So the Poskim quotes, namely the Nevi Yehuda, that the Nevi Yehuda wanted to make a pshay, wanted to make a compromise. As the Nevi Yehuda, maybe the Rashbam is right. Maybe we're not sure the Rashbam is right. Maybe he's right. That if the kli wasn't kasha, that could potentially affect the outcome of the tefillah. So the Nevi'ah says that only makes sense when it's within 24 hours of its use. We spoke about many times earlier in the year that kelim only required to be kasha in the Torah within the first 24 hours. Once I haven't used the kli already for 24 hours, whatever taste is inside the walls of the kli is what's called a nation tam with gam. It begins to deteriorate, begins to turn spoiled. And any time it reaches a point past 24 hours, is not really, not considered to be a tam. It's not a tam that you have to reckon with in halacha. So the Yehuda says that when does it make sense to say that the kli is treif? The kli is treif when you just use it for chazer an hour ago. So the goy cooked it an hour ago, then he sells me the kli, and I go ahead and bring it to the mikvah. So maybe you can argue that the Rashbam is right. That's the problem. So it's a terrible sheret to the other. But here after 24 hours, what kind of sheret to the other? That the kli is not really treif anymore. But the nisim is the rabbanon that you're not allowed to use the kli calls magi don't kasher it. But it's not considered to be a treifah kli. It's an ister agavra. I'm not allowed to use it, and to be able to use it, it's not going to treif up the food. The Rebbe argues that it's hard to call that a teva v'sheret to the other. It's said over the name of the rabb that he wasn't so sure that was right. So the rabb apparently thought that once the chacham made a nisim the rabbanon to use the kli, it's a brisk avot, once they made a nisa, the rabbanim use it. It's like a nisa chetza. It means it's a terrifically. The rabbanim is a terrifically. It doesn't ask for things to be yezed, but since there's an issa shtamshus in the kli, and now when I use it, it's considered to be also like a bechina of a tevah shehaz biyazed. Again, so we're not even sure this whole tevah shehaz biyazed is true, and even if there's a moment that's true, we're not quite sure how far the tevah shehaz biyazed goes. But again, the normal protocol is going to be the kasha first, so I go next. For us, this shayla is mostly an academic shayla. Most of us are not buying used kalim from goyim. There is a sugya in the second base in the second parak where the Mishnah, the Gemara, begins to discuss the possibility of doing tefillah kalim on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So if you take a look at the fourth of the Ramakamos, the Gemara is building off the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that one is not permitted to tefillah kalim on Shabbat and Yom Tov, and the question is why not? The Gemara says in the fourth of the Ramakamos, the kuliyam and mir kli the Shabbat is low. That one is not allowed to tefillah kalim on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Why is that my time up? So the truth is that with a little bit of this claim in the sugya, we're not yet talking about real tefillah kalim that we know of. The Mishnah is actually talking about kalim tmeim. The person wants to have his kalim tahorim, especially in Yom Tov, wants to have a Torah kalim. So he wants to be total to kalim in a tumah. The Gemara is raising the question why that should be prohibited. We'll see as we go on, hopefully, why that should not carry over to a week or tefillah kalim. The Gemara begins, the kuliyam amir kli b'shabbos lo. Everybody agrees. Based on the Mishnah, you're not allowed to tell the Caleb on Shabbat or Yom. My time, what's the reason? I'm a rabbi, Gizeh Rishani, Lena Biyado, you have the Rena Abba Amat Mishnah Sarabi. So we are afraid if you're going to permit Tovah and Caleb on Shabbat, the person may forget their Shabbat, they'll end up carrying the Kli. There's no Eruv. They'll carry the Kli, Da'an Amat Mishnah Sarabi, which will of course be an Issam in Torah. This is not the first time that we find this Gizeh Rishani, Yavi Rena Mishnah Sarabi. This is known, of course, from the most famous Gezeirah, so that's the reason why we don't blow shofar on Shabbat. That's the reason why we don't take lulav on Shabbat. That's the reason why we don't read the Megillah. For us, it's not, never happens, but in Shushan, every once in a while, it does fall out. The 15th of Adar falls out on Shabbat. You don't read the Megillah on Shabbat, you read it on Friday, because the Dirabana, we're afraid, Gezeirah Shani, every other day, Allah, and the Rabbah, we're afraid, you may come to carry those Chapter Shomit. So, too, Rabbah says, because I'm with the same Gezeirah, not the type of Kalim, for that reason. Then the Gemara goes on to ask, that makes sense on Shabbos. What about on Yom Tov? And Yom Tov is permitted to carry. The sure things that you want to use on Yom Tov, that's for sure permissible to carry. So why did Chazal ask us to do a kelim on Yom Tov? Like Moshe says, maybe it was a gezeir Yom Tov for Shabbos, but they wanted the kelim was to be closed. They want to be in the mindset of to do a kelim on Yom Kadosh, even though the real reason doesn't really make any sense when it comes to Yom Tov. So far, we have one reason to prohibit tefillah kalim on Shabbat and Yom Tov, because the gezeirah you may come to carry. Then we go down to the fifth of the Ramakavot. The Gemara skips a few lines, and the Gemara continues on Yishchat and Aleph. Rav Yosef on the gezeirah mishum tchita. Rav Yosef had a whole different reason. The reason why you don't put tefillah kalim on Shabbat and Yom Tov is we're afraid you're going to squeeze out the kli. What kind of kli are we talking about? We're talking about garments. Again, tefillah kalim that we're talking about are kalim in a tuma. When you talk about tefillah kalim in a tuma, we're not only talking about forks and spoons and glasses, but we're talking about the gadol as well. As the Torah says many places, the chibes, the gadol, the brachat, the lav, and the sorrow, you have to be mechabit the gadol. So sometimes your gadol becomes tamei. So we're going to let you type of the gadol on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Next thing you know is when you take it out of the water, you're going to squeeze it out. That would be an issur in the Torah of schita, when it's not permitted to squeeze out the water on Shabbat. That's part of the kibbutz process. As part of the malach of wondering, that's clearly out of the question. So the Yosef says that we're afraid lest you do schita. Then the Gemara asks, well, that makes sense to prohibit tefillah of begadim, but why do we have to ask a tefillah of silverware? You don't have to squeeze anything. The Gemara says the same reason as the Gezeirah, that if you start to let people do tefillah of begadim, next thing you know they're going to be doing tefillah of kalim. So I said the other way around, if you let them do tefillah of kalim, next thing you know they're going to be doing tefillah of begadim, which is going to be a problem of schita. So far we have two reasons why Chazal closed the kelim mikvah on Shabbat and Yom Tov, either because of Gezeirah Shem Yavirenu, the carry, or because of Shechita. The Bibi on Gezeirah Shem Yisha, the Bibi gives a whole different story. The Bibi says that we want to encourage people to take care of the tefillah kelim early. We don't want people to leave tummy kelim floating around. So if people know that they're going to have time to do it on Shabbat and Yom Tov, then they're not going to take care of it earlier on, and that's going to lead to a mitzvah. That's going to lead to a problem. So according to Rabbi, it is nothing else to do with malacha. It's a separate issue of the Rabbanan just to make sure that people do things at the right time. Tanik Masei to Rabbi, we have a bright that supports Rabbi. Klisha nitma me'er v'yamtif, eim adulas av'yamtif. The Bryce actually records this very reason. But so far we have three reasons. We have afraid we're going to carry, afraid we're going to squeeze, afraid we're going to delay. Rav Amar Rav says a whole different story. Rav says the reason why to the canon is prohibited in Shabbos and Yontif is because it looks like you're fixing something. Before you use the clay, before you tumble the clay, it was tumbling. It was not usable. And now you're going to tumble it, you're going to make it usable. That's the problem. It appears to be like mistaken clay. And what's wrong with being mistaken clay? So this is not to the malacha of Makab and Patish. There's an issue in that Torah to fix broken cable on Shabbos. That's one of the Lama's malachas. But they have it shared, it's missing a leg. So I screw in the leg. That's the malacha of the right for Makab and Patish. Then the Rebbe said that just as they have a broken, just as I have a broken chair, so screwing in the leg is a malacha deraita. So too, if I quote unquote broken pot, what makes the pot broken? What makes it broken is that I can't use it with the thumbing. But when I go ahead and I not do it in, when I go ahead and I throw it into the water, into the mikvah, so that's considered to be like 16, and that would be an issue that I've done. It's a miracle mistaken clean. Why isn't it mistaken clean mamish? It's the mamish of the raita. We spoke a little bit about this in Gold Oak this week, that the mechaskinach writes, but it's only a halachic tikkun, not a physical tikkun. That's the only time that the Torah considers it to be a malacha deraita is only if you physically, something's mamish physically broke it and you fixed it. If something is merely spiritual, not usable, that's only an issue of the rabbanon. But the other reason is, Rava says it's not the makabat tatish. So the Gemara says, Yahi adam nami. Now the Gemara jumps in Rav and says, if that's the case, then there should be an issa for a person to go to the mikvah. Also, I mean, no, that's not true. Mishnah says the same. That a person is allowed to be tayvel in Shabbos and Yosef. But why not? Why don't we say that the person when the tummy is quote unquote broken, now you go to the mikvah and become fixed, and that should be a problem. How come we never heard of such a thing? The Gemara says, man, other mirror can make it. The Gemara says that when a person goes to the mikvah, it doesn't look so bad because people don't think that he's going to the mikvah. They think he's going to the energy. It's a hot day. But when you see a person standing there with his pot and sticking it into the water, there's only one conclusion you can draw is that, oh, he's doing it with Caleb, and that's a bad thing. So people are going to get confused. They're going to think you can fix things on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. You see a person tumbling the mikvah, you think that they're hot, they jump into the mikvah and shine. So it's this Gemara, other near Kameka, that is a source of this manazah, where we still do permit, we permit and we actually recommend. The woman's allowed to be with on Friday night, so we tell she goes to mikvah on Friday night. There was one opinion in the late Rishayim, who was the opinion that maybe this kula doesn't apply to Zmanazet. Why not? Maybe this kula only makes sense when you live in a place where it's realistic of the miracle maker. Rishayim lived in very, very cold climates in Europe. Who in the world is going to be naked in the middle of January? No one's going to the mikvah to cool off. So there were some Rishayim who raised a question whether we can even rely on the kula of Zmanazet. And some Rishayim were of the opinion that really the women should not be tarvos on Friday night. You should ask that they close all of the growth on Friday night, because the whole Svar of Miracle Maker doesn't apply. So that's not admitting. Most of the Rishonim didn't accept that. Most of the Rishonim say, even if the reason doesn't apply, but we don't have to make new Gezeiras today. If Chazal, when they formulated this issue, they said Kalim off limits, people are okay, because the Zman Chazal, Miracle Maker applies, so even though for us it doesn't apply, it's still going to be impermissible. Even though we really have rejected that opinion of Miracle Maker, to those opinions that qualify Miracle Maker, the Ramah brings it back a little bit to life. I'm all right. There was a meeting at some communities in Europe that if a woman's leil tefillah was Friday night, they would let her go to the mikvah Friday night. Let's say a leil tefillah was Thursday night. Why didn't she go Thursday night? She was at a wedding. She was busy. She was cooking a Shabbat. She didn't get around to go to the mikvah. She has more time Friday night. She comes Friday night and says she wants to go to the mikvah. The mikvah lady asks, when is your leil tefillah? She says, last night. And the Ramah quotes a meeting that says that she shouldn't go to the mikvah. That we only let a woman go to the mikvah on Friday night if it's a real, real terrorist. We thought, well, tefillah. Then we rely on Rav Rishayim. But if it's not such a tzarech, Harai is not such a tzarech, she should go on Wednesday. If she was still dying to raise her and she didn't go to the mikvah, we were not going to let her go to the mikvah tonight. And then Rav Mochot, another minute, there were some communities in Eastern Europe that had, that if a woman's leil tefillah is Motzei Shabbos, you let her go to the mikvah. But if a leil tefillah was earlier, she just didn't get around to it, we shouldn't let her go to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos. There's no malacha. That's a different story like Amri. Because there's a halacha before a woman goes to the mikvah, she has to do chafifa. She has to clean herself to wash her hair and comb out her hair properly. And the chafifa is really supposed to be done right before going to the mikvah. The Gemara says at the end of the Masechet Nida, when a woman goes to the mikvah with the Shabbos, obviously you can't do it right before. You have to do it, maybe you could do it right before, depending on what you think right before means. There's one opinion in the Rishonim, one opinion in the Gemara, that says that Now, you don't want to do the chafifa at night because she's going to be in a rush. So when we say right before, that means it'll be yod yom. When a woman goes to the mikvah on Motzei Shabbos, her hands are tied. She can't do the chafifa at night because it's too late. We want to get to the mikvah right away. You can't let her do the chafifa on Friday on Shabbos afternoon. So Shabbos, we'll never we have to do the chafifa on Friday afternoon. And the Rambam quotes the minhag that says that was a kula. The Chazal never they threw their hands up and said we don't really like this. He's making a preparation 26 hours before. What are you going to do? Lays Breira. But that's true if there's Lays Breira. But if she has a Breira, she should have gone on Thursday night. What's she going to Motzei Shabbos for? So the answer is that we're not going to let her go Motzei Shabbos either. That's where there are more rights. If you combine both of these and love them together, you'll end up with a big chumrah. A woman's left to do this Thursday night. But she's busy Thursday night. And she doesn't want to go Thursday night. So she comes Friday night, and the Mishnah tells her she can't go tonight because some Rishonim say there's no miracle maker anymore. So she comes back the next night, and then the next lady tells her, you can't go tonight because you had to do your chafifa too early. They push off the Sunday night. So they're more close to something other like that in Eastern Europe. They have that practice. If a woman moves and didn't go Thursday night, they don't let her go for Sunday night. So the post came in America right that we don't have those mitzvahs anymore. And a woman comes to the mikvah, as long as she's eligible to go to the mikvah, we don't have kashrus and say, you should have gone, would have gone. So she goes, and finished. But the reason for that minig in Eastern Europe was because of this gemara that other American maker. But getting back to the Tfilas Kelim story, so we now have four different reasons why Chazal prohibited Tfilas Kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. One was the reason of carrying, one was because of squeezing out the water, one was because you're delaying, and one was because it's near Kim Mishtakin. So the question is, which of these reasons are we talking, and which of these reasons has relevance for us this time of day? So the Rosh and the sixth of the Mamatomot, the Rosh writes, the Kuliyama B'Shabbos Lo Omar Taima. Everyone agrees you can't do Tfilas Kelim on Shabbos. The behavior of Alphas, Taima D'Rav Yosef, the Omer Mishum Tchita, the Taima D'Rav Bibi D'Rav Gzeir Shem Yisha. So the Rosh just observes the fact that the Rif, out of all four of these reasons, quotes the reasons of Rav Yosef, which have to do with Tchita, and the reasons of Rav Bibi, which have to do with the laying of Tumah V'Tahara. B'Shabbik Taima D'Rav, the Omer Gzeir Shem Yisha Aramas, which is Taravim, the time of the Rav, the Mishnah, the Nurchim, is Sakin. So, if he left out, two out of the four reasons. So, says the Rosh, but Tamahani, I don't understand it. So, he says, why did the Rav spend so much time talking about this topic? The Mishnah was talking about Tumah Kelim for Tumah, which we don't have anymore. The Rav only wrote Halach L'Maita. The Rambam wrote him everything, but the Rav only wrote Halach L'Maita. So, why did the Rav bother even spending time learning this figure? We also see a time in and additionally, the Rosh says, according to the two reasons that the Rif chose, which we don't know why he chose them, neither of those reasons apply to our Kalim. Right? The reason of Tchita, obviously, doesn't make any sense for our Kalim. Tchita only makes sense for Tumah because the original fear was we should begot him. Nobody's telling begot him this man is there. If the whole reason to ask the Tfilas Kalim and Shabbat and Yom Tov was the Gzeir Mishum Tchita begot him, that would apply for Tfilas Kelim Mishum Tumah. That would not apply for Tfilas Kelim Chadashim that you buy from Goyim. So, according to one reason of the Rif, the whole issue of Tfilas Kelim and Shabbat and Yom Tov wouldn't apply to Zman Hazeh. And the other reason, Mishum Rabibi, that we don't want you to dilly dally because then things are going to become Tomei, that doesn't apply for us either. So that reason doesn't apply. The other two reasons that the Rif left out, he should have quoted because those would have ramifications to Zman Hazeh. The reason Gazeri is going to carry, and the Easter of Nirakim Asake, that's exactly what the Rush writes. So the Rush writes in the last line, U'me'elush na'tayim, u'atulat u'kelim chadosh u'me'yontif. The Rush says, U'me'elchanami, that this man is a yitach, and now we're going to do what we call Tfilas Kelim and Yontif. So when all the dust settles, whether or not you're allowed to do Tfilas Kelim today on Shabbos and Yontif, really boils down to which of the four reasons are correct. Two of the reasons only apply to Tumah, and two of the reasons apply even to Kelim chadoshim. So it's unclear what the din should be. We fast in Shulchan Aruch, we try not to encourage people to do Tfilas Kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You know, not everybody agrees, but we would not recommend to do it. So the Shulchan Aruch, look at the back of the page, in the seventh of the Ramah Kamos, in Siddur Kuf Chof Tif Tezayim, Im Shochach Lo Hitlo Kli Me'ev Shabbos and Me'ev Yom Tov, what if a person forgot to do Tfilas Kelim on Friday or Me'ev Yom Tov? Again, even though there are some Rishon who would permit doing it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's not our practice because the Chosh is for the Rosh's reason. So here the Shulchan Aruch quotes a suggestion that we spoke about last week. You should give it to a goy as a gift. And then you should re-borrow it. You should borrow it back from the goy because as long as it belongs to a guy, there's no mitzvah kiyam. Mitzvah kiyam only applies when the kli was owned at one time, either made or owned by a guy, and is now owned by a Jew. If it was made by a Jew, then there's no mitzvah kiyam. If it was never owned by a guy, never mitzvah kiyam. If it's owned by a guy right now, there's also no tefillah kelim. So here you can a little bit of circumvent the mitzvah tefillah kelim and give it to the guy as a gift and borrow it back from the guy. Ramah adds on, v'chein yaseh to the b'chov v'bakash ein la mikvah. Ramah says, what if it's not Friday? What if it's Tuesday? There's just no mikvah around. So the Ramah says, you can also rely on this stunt as well. So this stunt that we spoke a little bit about last week in terms of the electric kelim that we're afraid to toy belt, well, some recommend to do this as well. But here in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, this idea suggests that either on Friday afternoon, where you can't get to the mikvah, or there's no mikvah in town. So the eighth of the Mamakom was the Taz has a big chiddush. But the Taz writes, "You never love Yichav b'matana." Nearly the high tikuna enu elusi shah. Said the Taz, this kunst of giving it to a guy and borrowing it back only works temporarily. The high leosu Shabbos. It only works for that Shabbos. Or b'chol kov manche elu mikvah, or during the week if there's no mikvah. About the Achra Shabbos, when he gave it to the guy, and now it's Motzei Shabbos. Well, he gave it to the guy, or she was down with a mikvah, now he's got a mikvah. So he says, Kevin Sheishtakeh, Olam is B'yad Yisrael, Vadei Havakilakuch B'yadai. So says the Taz, once you're borrowing it back from the guy for such a long amount of time, but that's almost like it's yours already. But since it's almost like it's yours, you would have to return to it as well. So that's a big question. Why exactly is that? And then the Taz at the end is not even sure that he's right. If we take a look, it's the second bottom line of the Taz, at the end of the line, about Kevin She'enzem Mufush B'Poskim, he writes that this din that he just suggested is not really explicit in the Poskim. Yesh Lizor She'atuk Li'acha Imam Shemkasha Safi Bracha. So on the one hand, he doesn't want to let you use the Kli, which belongs to the Goy, but you are quote-unquote borrowing forever. He doesn't want you to do that because he thinks it's Chayv and Tfila. On the other hand, he's not sure it's Chayv and Tfila, and therefore he's recommending not to make a Bracha. Whenever you can avoid a topic to us, okay, we should try to do something by buying another kli, using another kli, and making the bracha on that. When all the dust settles, we are assuming the halacha not to do tefillas kelim and shabbos yom for the various reasons that I mentioned in the Gemara and the Rishonim. What do you do if you realize that you haven't titled the kli, and then you have this eitz that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah recommend? The Taz is putting the brakes on this eitz and saying that you shouldn't rely on this eitz of the Olam Vod, but once you rely on it for too long, that undermines the ownership issue in the kli, and maybe you can argue that the kli actually belongs to you. The Taz himself concedes that not so partial that Tzvara, and therefore he wouldn't recommend to actually recite a bracha based on it. In the ninth of the Bamakam, also the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Tzimu Kukhav Sifir Aleph, Yisrael Shemacha Kli Yavi Kichavim, the Chaz of Allah Chavimenu, Tzach Tzvila. What if a Jew sells a Kli to a guy, and then he mamish buys it back? He literally buys it back, and then of course it's going to require a Tzvila. So it's based on this being Shulchan Aruch, it's a Tshuva quote in the tenth of the Bamakam, he quotes from the Chayyadam. Well, the fees there, Kishamoche, how Yoros of the Kichami are Pesach, Pesach, Chavet, Shetach, Tfilo, Yacha, Pesach. So he quotes from the Chayyadam, who says that when you sell the Chomet to the Goy in Erev Pesach, if you sell your pot and your silverware to the Tisha to the Goy, then when you buy the back and after Pesach, then you would have to title them again. Well, the Chayyad Mutav Shalom of Mokharam. Therefore, the Chayyadam recommends that you have to sell them in the first place. Why? There is no chiyuv to sell dishes to the guy. There's no bayi rovei motzei on that which is absorbed inside the walls of your pot. There is no such halacha you have to sell them. And Fakir says the Chayyadam, if you sell them, then you're setting yourself up for trouble. Because if you sell them, then you have to remember to re-total them when you buy them back. And he writes that that's the minhag that usually the guy doesn't actually purchase the kelim himself. However, there are those, some who have the practice to actually sell the kelim to the guy. That's in the Shtar Mechir Chomet to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So it has that in the text of the Shtar. And there are some people out of Yemen, yeah, who use that text, and they actually sell the kelim to the guy. That's a big problem. They sell the kelim to the guy. When they buy the kelim back on the Masorah Yomtiv, nobody's running and taking all the dishes to the kelim mikvah. But the Yechvarim try to defend that practice by saying that, well, this type of a Mechira is not really enough for Mechira to Mechira to the kelim. This is, of course, a big problem. Because if it's not a real mechira to be mechira to a kelim, then what in the world are you doing it for? How's it getting you out of the problem of only chomet? So the kasha is mechira to be better than the tarot. So again, Westman has that very, very unique practice of selling the kelim also, so it's recommended probably not to mention the kelim. If you're worried about the chomet, yes, there is no chomet inside the walls of the kelim. You worried about the chametz on in the kli. Let's say there's the end of the kli. There are some who add on to the text of the chametz that we're selling any chametz that's stuck onto the walls of the kli, but not the kli itself. And we'd have a different ace and different suggestions by that. By the whole thing is not necessary anyway, because when you sell to the guy, you're right, you sell the chametz, wherever the chametz is, whether it's a bottle of liquor, whether it's a pizza in your freezer, whether it's chametz stuck to the walls of the kli, that's all included, also assumed under the Mishnah's chametz. So that idea that some folks can have the mamash for the kli itself may cause more problems than it solves, maybe an issue in terms of a tefillah scale. But so far, the mitzvah to the scalem is as we saw before, it's questionable in terms of the timing of the mitzvah, whether it has to be timed after after the kashering of the scalem, whether that's an issue of tovashos miyado, whether the timing of the scalem has to take place during the week, cannot take place on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That's the machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes Rishon and Rashi. What suggestions are available to us if one is not able to tovel the scalem? And then the last halacha. In terms of if you went ahead and you stole the kli back to the guy, that's going to be remechayev of you into a kelim. Whether that's relevant for the kli chametz, that depends on this discussion at the post.
Mm. How can you run this by Shabbos? The kli should be pointing up to you than Shabbos.
Yeah, you can still tell.
It's better than kashrut and then totally.